But first, the news overnight from Washington of the biggest legal setback to Donald Trump of his second term in office. The Supreme Court has ruled that the president exceeded his authority when he levied what he dubbed the Liberation Day tariffs. Three conservative justices ruled against him and decided the Trump administration needed congressional approval for the move. This was the president's angry response.
The Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs is deeply disappointing, and I'm ashamed of certain members of the court, absolutely ashamed, for not having the courage to do what's right for our country.
He also called the justices who ruled against him fools and lapdogs, the kind of language rarely directed by a U.S. president against the country's highest court, and certainly not in the modern era. The president has hit back almost immediately. He's announced a new 10% levy on global imports. Tariffs have been so central to Donald Trump's economic policy, of course, and they've also been central to his foreign policy. He's used them as a cudgel to punish countries, including U.S. allies. Let's talk to Justin Wolfers, a professor of economics at the University of Michigan, an Australian in America. Justin, thanks so much for joining us on ABC Radio National.
Mate, it's all very exciting over here right now.
It has happened overnight and we're waking up to it. First, that ruling from the Supreme Court, this 6-3 majority saying Donald Trump has essentially acceded his authority in imposing those Liberation Day tariffs. This is big, Justin. Give us a sense of its significance.
So first of all, it doesn't get rid of all tariffs. It gets rid of roughly 2/3 of them, but it gets rid of the 2/3 that are most important to what the president's trying to do. Here's the basic idea. The Constitution in the United States gives the power to tax to Congress, not to the White House. This is the court basically just reminding the president that that's still true. So this isn't saying you can't do tariffs. It's just saying you've got to go to Congress and see if you can persuade them to pass them. Now, the thing is, he's not going to succeed at that. In fact, he's not even going to try. So what this does is puts away his biggest weapon. But there are other legal authorities the president can use. They're narrower. They give him far less leverage. They're clunkier. They take time. And that's why he is so frustrated right now. So it does put an arrow through the heart of the president's agenda. But one way of thinking about this is this was season one of Sons and Daughters, but there's going to be season two where the president fights back and this conversation just keeps on going.
I love it. You realize you're back on the Australian Airways rather than the American Airways where you spend so much time. You've gone with Sons and Daughters rather than the American equivalent. That's brilliant. Yeah, it is worth pointing out, isn't it, Justin, that the tariffs he imposed were via a law reserved for national emergencies. And that was the problem for the Supreme Court. They just didn't think that applied in this instance.
Actually, I'm going to have to correct you on that.
Oh, go on.
So there's actually two fundamental legal issues, and the court really only came down on one of them. The first is there's something called the International Economic Emergency Powers Act, the emergency or IEPA to its friends, and it basically gives the White House the power to do a bunch of things if there's an economic emergency. The question was, is one of those things the power to issue tariffs? Because that law doesn't use the word tariff anywhere. And the court basically found, you know, if the Congress meant to give the president that power, they would have actually used the word tariff, and they didn't. And so it's that's the legal foundation. Now, if he had that power, there would have then been this second question. Oh, you do have the power to issue. If he had the power to issue tariffs on a national emergency, there's this other question. Mate, what's the national emergency? The president's answer is trade deficits. But we've had trade deficits every year for decades now. There's no emergency there either.
What's going to be the economic fallout? The Trump administration often tries to convey the impression that it's foreign countries who pay the tariffs, and that's not true. It's US importers, and they've been passing on the cost to consumers. Companies are already taking legal or thinking of taking legal action to get back that money, billions of dollars. What are the economic consequences of this ruling?
I think you'd actually say they're remarkably good, because when the court says you're not allowed to do something stupid, that stops you doing something stupid and destructive. What we saw is when this decision came out, US stock markets rose. It's actually worth pausing on that, because the whole logic of Trump's tariffs was, if I impose tariffs, that will be good for American businesses, and then they'll hire more people. What we see is when the court says you're not allowed to do that, the value of American businesses rises. That's the markets essentially saying, Mr. President, your theory of the case is upside down and back to front. Your policy proposals would have hurt us, and we think it's a good thing that you're not allowed to do that. So if anything, the US economy is in a somewhat happier place today. This was actually widely expected, so the reactions weren't particularly enormous. But then we do have that problem of season two of Sons and Daughters, which, if you remember the twists and turns, an awful lot happened, and that created even more uncertainty, even after the uncertainty of season one. And so we're back to the president fighting against the courts, the Congress, America, and the rest of the world, but now with one arm tied behind his back.
Well, that's fascinating, isn't it? Because they are such an important part of his economic policy. They are such an important part of his foreign policy. We know the markets hate uncertainty. We know that companies hate uncertainty. Are we just going to have this prolonged period of uncertainty now as Trump imposes tariffs and then they get questioned in court?
Maybe. Look, we could, of course, reduce all this economic uncertainty. The president could just say, oh, fair enough. That was the referee. I respect the whistle. I'm not going to be an agent of chaos. And that is actually something that presidents generally try to do. That's not this president's story, though. And so mine was very much a prediction there that if the president acts like he has so far or is an agent of chaos rather than of order, there's no reason to expect anything different going forward. And already we've seen he's imposed a new 10% tariff on every country around the world. Now, to be clear, that's a tax on Americans who import from abroad. And the second thing is, under that legal authority, this is a tariff he's allowed to have in place for 150 days. Mm. And so there is this deep question, what problem does a 150-day tariff solve? If the president wants to try and bully other countries, and we're well aware he's done that to everyone, including Australia, you know, we're now at a point Albo can just look him in the eye and say, good luck, mate. That tariff you just threatened me with will expire in 150 days. Mm. Why would I move based on that? If he thought he was going to try an onshore manufacturing, what factory is going to open up based on a new tariff the president just imposed that's going to disappear before they pour the concrete? So this punchback is a reflex and a reaction, but it really has no rationale and isn't going to help anyone over here.
Justin Wolfers, it has been fascinating to talk to you. A professor of economics at the University of Michigan, an expert in Sons and Daughters as well. Justin, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
A great pleasure, mate. Take care.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.